to this evening's call and tell you we're really glad you decided to participate with us. And the purpose of the call for the new people on this evening's call is really to help us work through the how-to elements for building a successful franchise. And most of the information that we talk about, obviously, it just pertains to building a successful business across ethnicities, but where there are particular challenges that face the African-American community, we, of course, want to address those as best we can. We have a group website that you can go to for some information about what we're doing, and that is www.allianceofachievers.com, and it's Alliance of Achievers is all one word. And I need you to click on the membership page to send your information to be part of the Yahoo group email and give me your ATG, since that's the method I use for updates. My ATG is 9986. Usually we have two areas before we get into the conversation where we talk about news you can use and announcements. The news you can use, I'm going to keep it very brief tonight because I want to get to our guest speakers. But I want you to understand something about several articles that have been out about vitamins and the importance of supplements, since we primarily have a lot of health and nutrition products. But they did a survey that showed in 2005, 70 million American households spent $7 billion to buy vitamin supplements. $7 billion is a lot of money. And we don't need a large part of that, just a portion. What was interesting about the article, though, was that people are confused about what supplements to buy, and that leads directly to the tools that we have available, the Health Awareness Survey, the Nutrophysical, and the Gene Snip, to help people figure out exactly what it is they need to be taking. The other article pertained to vitamins being considered insurance for your eyes, and someone was writing into a pharmacist and complaining about having to pay money, in this case $20, for 60 tablets. And they went on to list the ingredients that were important, and the pharmacist said that if your product contains any of these ingredients, then it's a valuable product. They list nine ingredients, and our vision formula has seven of those nine. And I'm sure there's half of you on the phone who've never even looked at what's in our vision product. But we really need to do that, because that's information that the public is getting access to, and we need to be able to share with other people the value of what we have to offer. In terms of announcements, we have two congratulations. If you looked at the latest power line, Patricia Bazemore, a master coordinator out of Yonkers, New York, and a bronze UFO, Charles Smith Jr., out of Princess Anne, Maryland. So congratulations to them. Currently, our forum meeting is scheduled for Thursday, August 3rd in Greensboro at 8 o'clock in the Victoria Ballroom, and the challenge information is currently on the group website, so you can go there and pull that down. The Feed Your Mind quote contest, which occurs at the end of every call when I give you a quotation from a famous African-American, and whoever gets this gets a token of appreciation. This is the second week in a row we have no winner. The quote from last call was, "You have to believe in yourself when no one else does. That's what makes you a winner." So I'm not going to tell you who said that, because I really like that one, and we're going to use that one again. And actually, speaking of that's what makes you a winner, we have three really, I think, amazing winners on the call with us tonight. We have National Supervising Coordinators Felton Hodge, Patricia Tillman Hodge, and Russell Williams. And Russell's picture, if you were on the call at the beginning, you heard us, is in the May Power Line. And, of course, Selton and Patricia are in the Success From Home magazine. And when we get to International Convention, hopefully they'll have the new Profiles of Success book available, and they'll all be in there as well. And that's a great place for you to go and share the success stories of other people that the people you're talking to can actually relate to. And I really appreciate you three agreeing to be on the call tonight. Hey, like I said, I get really excited the closer we get to the events, because I think we're just going to have a great family reunion time. And I know that each of you will be speaking and sharing also at the forum meeting. But what I wanted to start with, I'd like you all, since everyone doesn't know you, to take a couple of minutes and tell me something about your background and specifically why you decided to become involved with Market America from where you were already starting. So let's start with Russell.
Okay, sorry.
I didn't know.
I didn't know, right? Yeah. No, actually, TA, my background is civil engineering. start a little bit earlier. I'm from out of New York, Harlem, actually, USA, born and raised. But my background is in civil engineering, human services administration. I've done some commercial real estate and some manufacturing. And I've been approached in the past, you know, by a lot of people about a lot of different things. But, you know, I never drew any conclusions from it. I just felt like I was this professional person and I needed to stay on track, on focus, et cetera. A good friend of mine, Lisa Grant, many of you might know, executive director with Market America now. I've known her for over 20 years. And she had a... And she had, in my opinion, a bad habit of just getting into a lot of different things, you know, and calling me on them all the time, you know. So, but being a good buddy, you know, I would just go to them, check them out, you know, and be like you, you know. Okay, nice, thanks for allowing me to come, have a few appetizers, and I was out of there. But when she came to me with this Market America thing, I was just kind of like, you know, taken aback, and I'll give it another look, see, but I'm sure it's like one of those other things, and I just played it like that. And like so many of us that night, I think 14 of us sat down and listened to a couple of speakers that came in from out of town, out of Pennsylvania, to tell us about Market America, and all of us walked away, you know, like, hey, not for me, not for me, and I was the same way. But as you might expect, someone who's gone on to become an executive director had to be pretty persistent, you know.
She didn't give up on you.
Yeah, she didn't give up on me, you know. She came, she knew where I hung out, you know, different restaurants and what have you. And she came in one day all excited, said, look, I decided to do this thing, and, you know, I'm going to do it with or without you, but I think you, you know, we might enjoy working together. So I said, well, you know, I'll take another look at it. And sometimes you don't always know what changes in your life, why you make different decisions and stuff like that. So the next time I looked at it, you know, I was looking at it from a different perspective. I was basically saying to myself, well, what's the harm? What's going to hurt? You know, I'm not going to lose my house, my car, you know, kids' education or anything like that. So I just said, hey, I'm going to just take a flyer. What the heck is really my attitude when I came on to Market America, you know, the first time? All too often, like so many people, I came on board and I did nothing, you know. Right out the gate, I did nothing, and nothing persisted, you know. But she kind of got me going to meetings with a variety of different things. She was pregnant at the time, said she couldn't drive, and all kinds of excuses. She did whatever it took. It's basically what it was all about to get me to see this thing. So I would keep going. And I'll tell you, the key for me actually coming on board was going to leadership. Okay, and I know we got an opportunity coming up with convention very shortly now, but it's those major, you know, meetings and conferences that really get your attention. So she got me down to Florida for a leadership school. You know, I wasn't fully dedicated to going to every session, you know, but I got to one evening. At that time, we had a split session or something, and JR was speaking, and I actually just looked at the eye and listened and started to pay attention for the very first time. And I said to myself, if what this guy's saying is true, you know, we can make a lot of money and help a lot of people, you know. And I always encourage people, you know, when they're just looking at Market America the first time, that if is a good place to start in this business.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't have to have all the answers, but if what we're saying is true, you know, if what we're saying sounds like it might be true, that's a good place for you to start investigating what we're doing here. So that was my initial foray into Market America.
It's funny that you mentioned the if word, because that is one of the key elements that was kind of the foundation for Elizabeth's amazing growth. But in the beginning, she was often heard to say, if this is true, we're going to be filthy rich. And here she is. This was true. Clearly, as the song says, when she goes on stage, she's still the one. So there is a lot to be said for the if factor. Now, Sunday Patricia, I know that you all do believe in the major events and are clearly there, but would you share for a minute what led you to becoming involved? I know some of the story, especially Selton's part, but others don't.
Okay. I'm a registered nurse. Always knew from a very young age that I wanted to be a nurse, just loved helping people. And as long as God allows, I'll always have some involvement in healthcare. But Selton and I together had always looked or had been looking for a business opportunity, some way that we can work for ourselves and that will provide us an income where we could spend time together, because that was our problem. We had no time. Mm-hmm. Selton will tell you he was working at 2 full-time jobs. I was working full-time. The money was there, but the time was not, and life was just passing us by. But during those years, Selton was looking, you know, looking for something different. And eventually, and I'm not going to tell his part of the story. I'll let him tell that. Through all of the everything that he tried, it did work. He put a lot of time in it. He put a lot of energy into it, but the money just was not there. And even though I wasn't really involved in that, I didn't discourage him because I knew if he just kept looking, then he would eventually find the right one. And that's what happened, to make a long story short. Mm-hmm. That's how he found Market America.
I think the critical if there was that you believed in your husband and the fact that you two ultimately had the same goal, which was spending time together.
Right.
And anyone who knows you knows how important family is to you. So your if was, even if these aren't working, I believe,
mm-hmm.
one day God's going to send something that's going to work. Okay, so do you want to tell us the rest of that story?
I fell about 20 of them before I found Market America.
Yeah, I thought that was a good round number. I love your number, 20.
Yeah. My thing was that people always came to me with different opportunities. I always tell people like Les Brown and a lot of other people, and people still call me today. And first of all, I let people know, people are always going to come to you and approach you about different network marketings out there, and people are always going to tell you there's a better than the one you're in, and a lot of people who've been in things before tell you that it's not going to work. But the reason why it never worked for people is because they never work it. That's the main thing. And people are always trying to get you into something because they, one thing about Market America distributors, they want you in because they want to help you. A lot of people want you in because they need to get you in for them to get paid. Market America, we need to get you in to help you get paid. And that's the good thing about this business. When I first looked at it, I was approached by three doctors. I kept saying I wasn't interested in whatever y'all are doing. I mean, I don't care what it is. I'm not interested because I was in Prime America last. And when I went out to look at it, Dr. Fisher sat down with me and Dr. Dallas Ray and Dr. Locke. It was three people approached me the same time about it. So I said, well, you know, I'll look at it one day. So it took me about 3 months before I really looked at it. And one thing I know when I looked at this business, that it was different from anything else out there. And I always ask people, when anybody try to invite you out to look at anything, ask them, what percentage would you get off me? Because they're going to tell you that right off the front.
Absolutely.
And that way you'll know you're getting a percentage off them. So it's definitely multi-level marketing. And the thing I saw different from this, they say, you know, everything everybody do, you get 100%. And I asked them, my main thing was, if they stayed on the top, I wasn't going to get in this business because most of the people that stay on the top make all the money.
Absolutely.
In Market America, you have to come underneath the other person, organization, and what you do down there comes up through everybody 100%. And that's the main thing I like. That made me know that this wasn't multi-level marketing because they have to work the same way I have to work. And that's what this business is about, working together and helping other people be successful. You know, a lot of times you have to take the focus off you and put it on someone else, and you'll definitely get paid. And we all know it works from the Powerline magazines that we see. But one thing I want to say, folks, it's going to be people approaching you all the time. My wife will tell you, people call me all the time about different network marketings. I mean, the traveling thing is out here. I mean, there's so many different things people try to convince you to look at and try to get you in. But it's nothing like Market America. I'm letting you know now, you can waste your time to go out there and look at it, but it's nothing like what we have. The only thing we have to do is go out there and put this out there into the community and share this opportunity to bless so many people out there who need this opportunity. And that's the thing we need to do in getting that Powerline magazine.
Well, you know, I appreciate you sharing that, Selton, especially because I think today I had three messages. I returned two of the calls because this was a really busy day for me. But two of the calls, their voicemail said, if you're calling about this product, leave a message.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't know that these people were involved in something else, but I know that's what they were calling me for, to tell me something else that they're in, that they're making some money. And your point is very well taken. Those calls are going to come, and the reality is that some people in many of these businesses are going to make money.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is also that most of those people are going to make money off of other people.
Right.
And they're not going to make money off of the service and the sharing and the helping piece that you all are talking about this evening. And it's important, I think, for people to educate themselves, or else you can fall into that, oh, I'm going to get rich quick. I mean, the reality is in life, you don't get rich quick. Okay, it doesn't work like that. Even if you do make some money, it is not going to last, and you're not going to be able to be of service and build the kind of wealth that you want to build for your family and your community. And the timing piece, so you all shared that, how the importance of timing.
Mm-hmm.
You had to wait. Russell kept looking. Lisa kept being persistent. I think that's important for people on the call to understand that you don't give up on people. It doesn't mean that you put all of your energy on this one person. Lisa didn't direct all her energy to Russell, but she kept him in her circle, and she kept feeding him information. And I think with the upcoming international convention, I mean, I love these periods of the year because they give you a perfect reason when you get back to get in touch with people that you haven't been in touch with in a while.
Yes.
Because you'll always have an update to say, you know, I was at my latest training and they introduced some new products, and looking back at some of your information, I think this would be useful for you. So it gives us a great opportunity to do that. Now, obviously for you three to be successful, you have to use the system tools in order to focus your efforts so that you aren't all over the map. When you're doing your prospecting and recruiting, which I know the three of you do is just part of your lifestyle, what do you do, and I'd like you to address this first, Russell, what do you do when you meet people to avoid spending too much time with them if they're not really ready? How do you sort of pre-qualify people?
You know, it's really about talking to them and listening. You know, you want to hear what their responses are. And all too often, you know, we want to meet people in to what they really are, you know. So it's really about being honest in your communication and accepting what you're hearing. Because if a person's not ready, there's nothing nearly that you're going to do, you know, to prompt them or to prod them into this business. And if you do, it's not going to be the kind of person you want to work with, certainly not at that particular time. So the whole qualification process for me begins with listening. And you need to find out what their concerns are, you know. What's their hot buttons? All right. If they're talking about needing, you know, some additional funds for education for their kids, then that's what Market America could be to them, and you need to take note because that's what your conversation is going to be geared towards as you begin to talk to them in the future about this business, you know. If they're looking to build a home or to get into a home and that kind of thing, well, you need to take note because that's what your conversation is going to be geared to because that's what Market America can actually do for them. You know, so a lot of people, you know, that I talk to in the course of training and stuff like that, they're shooting for this big magic number that they're going to dazzle somebody with, but it's really not about that. It's really about finding out what those individuals want, so that's all about dialogue and taking the time to find out what that person wants and needs.
So you mean that you're supposed to be standing there listening to what they say instead of running your two-minute commercial through your head for the 1,000th time.
Exactly.
That's
right.
What I hear you
say. Yeah, save a lot of time like that.
Well, you actually do, because sometimes we're listening to people, we think we're listening to people, and they're talking, as you said, about wanting to build a home or wanting to educate their child, and we want to talk to them about a health and nutrition product.
Mm-hmm.
That conversation is clearly a conversation that means they're interested in extra income.
Exactly.
Not a conversation that indicates they're interested in a specific product to deal with a specific health challenge. We need to listen to people to know where we start the process with them. They may eventually come over to either side, but it shows disrespect, I think.
That's right.
And you don't listen to people. We all feel disrespected when someone doesn't listen to us, and we all know when someone isn't really listening to us.
Or running a game, you know, and that's exactly what it is. If you're not paying attention and you got an agenda, people know that.
Yeah, they absolutely know that. Now, I know that when I was last in the Maryland area with Selton and Patricia, Selton has an amazing gift for listening to people. I mean, just amazing in terms of listening to what is really going on with them and being sensitive. So, Selton, what is it that you're doing that makes your relationships that you build with the people in your organization so special?
My thing is I try to find out the why they want Market America and what we can offer them. You know, and then I sit back and listen. You know, once you ask them what's their why and what do they want from this business, you got to find out what a person wants first. Because if they don't want anything, you're going to waste your time. And if they want something, you really can help them with this business. And I usually just, you know, conversate with people, you know, and get that relationship with them first. It's all about relationship.
Well, you know, it's funny that you said that, what they want. Mm-hmm. The reality is some of us have brought people into this business who do not want anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, that's the way it is. We think that everybody wants this, and everybody wants to make X amount of dollars, and everybody wants to live in this kind of house. It is so not true. When Robert was still alive, especially when I was working in the military, I was so intent on helping every single person who worked for me be all they could be, rise to the level. And some of them really got an attitude, okay? And he would say to me, you need to spend more time helping people be what they want to be. You will be amazed to find that some of these people are perfectly content to come to work every day, give mediocre performance, and go home.
Okay.
And they actually resent you for thinking that they want to do something else. And again, I think that gets back to respect, though.
Okay.
Everyone is entitled to be where they want to be. Our part, as you said, Selton, is to listen to them enough so that if they do want something different, we can take the time to show them how what we're involved in can possibly help them to achieve that goal.
Yeah, right. Just to interject, you know, because if you're going to continually confront somebody with an opportunity and they're not interested, basically what you're doing is belittling what they're currently doing.
That's disrespecting.
That's it.
Yeah, it's absolutely disrespecting people. And now, I know I want to direct this question to Patricia, because I know from my voicemails that you all do lots of training around the country and there's rave reviews. But I also know that every time I talk to someone where you all have been training, you train system training, which means the plan is the plan is the plan. System says do it, we do it.
That's right.
But I also know that you're familiar with the flavor of the month syndrome.
Yes.
People who are building their business and then this speaker comes to town and they say, oh, well, I'm going to stop doing everything I was doing and go do this.
Right.
And then they do that every month, and it's just, and they don't achieve any level of success, and they get very frustrated.
Right.
How do you respond to people who continue to seek that shortcut and just don't want to focus on using the system?
Okay. Sometimes you just need to sit down with a person, you know, just with that person one-on-one, and just talk with them about where they are in the business and where do they want to go. And just be honest with them. You know, and one thing that Selton and I try to do very early with people who are on our team is build a relationship with them so they're comfortable. We don't criticize a person. We don't try to be their boss. We let them know that we're there to help them. So the trust is there, the respect for each other. So that's what I like to do. And that really helps when we sit down with them and together decide what they're doing, what they need to do, what change needs to make. And just be honest, hey, this wasn't working. You know, you see this from this, this, and this. Nothing has happened. You know, why, let's try this and put a timeline on it.
Well, see, what you said is, I think, very important, and I hope people understand that, is that you are sitting down with them. You're not bringing someone into this business, handing them the Getting Started Action Guide, and say, go forth and build your business.
No.
And unfortunately, we have too many people doing that.
Yes.
Our responsibility is to sit with a person and walk them through the process and help them identify what's working. Now, there may reach a point in time where the individual isn't responsive, they're not doing the homework, they've decided that they're really not committed to building this business. They can choose to take themselves out of the picture, but we don't walk away from people
right.
because we took that responsibility on when we brought them into business with us.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, and I think that's extremely important, and I don't think many of us are doing that, at least not to the level that we need to, and I think that's because we listen to some of the, well, all you need to do is find two people. Well, that's a piece of it. You need to find two people, and remember the other part, help those people.
Right.
Until the reality is, and again, Patricia, I appreciate what you said about you're not their boss.
Mm-hmm.
You're working with people to help them become activated, which means as long as they're willing to give you names and go through the Getting Started Action Guide with you and use the system tools, then you're going to continue to work with them until they become activated.
Right.
It isn't a question of work with you for the first 30 days and then I'm on to something else, which I think is one of the advantages for all three of you mentioned relationship piece. When you're building relationships with people, that's going to take you some time.
Right.
You can't build 20 relationships at a time.
Mm-mm.
And some people are spending far too much time and effort, I think, in talking to too many people. You have a certain span of control, and when you go outside of that, you cause difficulties for yourself and discouragement and disappointment for the other person. Now, Patricia, you mentioned the fact that people, when you sit down with them, you tell them what's working and what's not working. Selton, I know that you're really good at the time management piece. And when you two are working with a new person, how do you convey the importance of getting that upfront commitment from them about the amount of time they're willing to work?
Well, you have to look at the person, and I really understand, or I had to learn to understand, what's truly meant by taking the focus off you and putting it on someone else. Because you look at, and I learned that I have to say through self, and I learned a lot through him, so I have to give him the credit for that. So we look at the person and what they're doing, what their job is, and then we show them how to build the business around what they're currently doing, because that's what we say that we do. You can do this business around what you're doing now without interfering, but we have to teach them how to do that.
But see, I think that's important.
That's different from with each person.
That's very important, because sometimes we see the 8 to 10 hours and we say, well, if you don't give me 8 to 10 hours, then nothing is going to work for you. But the reality is, we said exactly what you just repeated. We tell you that we can show you how to do this around what you're currently doing. And now, Russell, when Lisa was first approaching you, she was in effect, by having you drive her to these meetings and going to these trainings, showing you how to build this business around what you were currently doing.
Yeah, and she was showing me the time management aspects of what it was going to take. You know, and it's a learning process. You know, it's truly a learning process, because when we come into this business and we look I got to convey to individuals that they're the most important part of the building of their own business.
Correct.
You know, and that all goes back to them looking in the mirror and evaluating how much they really want what they want. You know, the whole adage about leading the horse to water can't make them drink. They got to make a decision in that mirror that they're here to drink.
That's exactly
you know,
right.
That they're here to be a part of this. You know, so I try to keep that in front of them, you know, keep that mirror up and let them know that I'm looking for, you know, I will reciprocate for whatever energy you put forth in this business, I'm going to be there with you, you know. And that's how I try to work with people, you know, help to have them energized to do the business, because motivation is going to have to come from self, you know, but certainly to have them energized and in front of people that can help develop that in individuals. And so that's normally what I would try to do with an individual, to keep them on task. That coupled with, you know, what Patricia was saying, detailed action plan, you know, it breaks a lot of that syndrome with regards to the flavor of the month thing,
right?
You know, because if they have those tasks outlined for them and they're working on them constantly, daily, then they really don't have time to get off track.
Right, they're less inclined to veer, and that's a really good point, because most people who grab onto the flavor of the month, that's because it's the only thing they're eating.
Right.
Okay. I mean, that's just the reality, and they don't have that detailed action plan. And for some of you who may not know exactly what we're talking about with the detailed action plan, your plan is going to consist of everything that you can possibly do to gain exposure for your business and exposure for your product. That information, when you have all that down on paper, and most of it is obviously in your career manual and other literature, you're going to extract from that to your daily calendar of the activities you're actually going to be working to accomplish. And your daily action plan then is going to move over to your calendar and your to-do list, so you're going to be booked for all intents and purposes. You're going to be scheduled. I know today what I'm going to be doing next Monday. Obviously, things can change, but I know which customers I'm supposed to be following up with. I know which distributors I'm supposed to be talking with and getting back to. So I really don't have much room for people interrupting me or deciding that someone else's crisis has become my crisis. I really don't, because I'm working a business plan. And I think you all's point about the importance of the time management, that's one of the biggest struggles for a lot of us, because the reality is you can get through most of life without being a good manager of your time.
Mm-hmm.
You really can, because you can let other people and circumstances dictate what you do with your time, like your boss or your other family members. Everything else can be in control of what goes on with you except you, and it is a skill that many of us don't have, but it's definitely something that we can learn. And the way you three are sitting down with individuals and approaching the daily details of what they need to do, that's the only way to help someone with that skill set. And I think sometimes we don't realize that when we invite people into business with us, we are also taking on the role of being a coach and a teacher in many respects, because we're helping people venture into a completely new area of their life that, even if they've been very successful in other areas of their life, that doesn't necessarily translate into the skill set that you need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would throw mentor into that also. I would throw mentor into that.
Absolutely.
As well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. And sometimes that's part of the problem, but I think it goes back to what you three said at the beginning of the call. Do you understand that you are sharing this business with other people because you really want to help them? If you don't take the focus off yourself, you will resent their phone calls, you will resent their interruptions, and you won't really see this as a service and sharing business.
Right.
And I think you can make some money if you don't see it that way, but I don't think you're ever really going to be wealthy if you don't put other people's needs first.
Right, and can I say something, T.A.?
Yes, please.
I mean, we get excited when people call, you know, when they keep calling and calling and calling. It's exciting for us.
Well,
when that happens.
That's because you know they're learning. You know they're
exactly.
They're in the mold. They're
they
excited.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I truly believe that if you don't get that back from this business, you are basically cutting yourself off from one of the major rewards.
No, I think so, because it is about truly about helping the people. And it's funny, Russell, I believe you were talking about the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Patricia, this is where what you and I have always shared is I learned so much from Robert, as you indicate you have from Selton. And there have been a few times, I know you all won't really believe this, but there have been a few times in my life when I wasn't necessarily doing the things I need to be doing. And sometimes,
that's hard to believe.
I know, that's amazing. But sometimes what Robert would do when I was sort of off track like that, he literally would take you to the mirror and say, repeat after me. Mirror, mirror on the wall. I don't want to face the facts at all. Okay. It's that simple. Just fill in the blanks. I don't want to call these customers at all. Just tell yourself the truth, because you're the only one, and this was your point, Russell, that we have to help people understand that it really is their business.
Mm-hmm.
It's their future. It's their wealth-building strategy for their family and their community. Our role is to help you along that journey as long as you want to travel it.
There you go.
That's the difference. And I think sometimes we don't realize that there is work in that process when you accept someone else into your world, be it business or personal. There is going to be some work there. Now, for those who think that the three of you just, you know, have a magic gift for building relationships and making those that you're interested in sharing this opportunity with respond, would you talk for a couple of minutes about how you use some of the prospecting and recruiting tools we have and which ones you find most effective for helping people embrace the fact that it is their business, but there is a system in place to help you? Sutton, why don't you go first?
I usually let people know about the flip chart. That flip chart is so important now because, I mean, we go back when we first came, we didn't have that flip chart. We have a person in Richmond, and we went down there a couple of times and did the plan with her, and now she's doing everything on her own. I mean, she's great. That's the one Trisha say called us. She had a kickoff a week ago with like 20-some people in a storm. We went down there from D.C. It took us 3 hours to get to Richmond. It usually takes you like an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But we got out there, and the place was packed in there. And then she called us back and told me, and Trisha, she don't need us come down there no more.
But see, you empowered her.
She said she's going to do everything on her own. She called and told us today she's doing kickoffs. And she plugged in with some people in other organizations down there, and she has somebody going to do the opening, somebody going to do the product, and that's what you need. People going to step up to the plate because, like you say, you're doing it for your family. You got to look at your kids and your family and say, this is what I need to do. And I always let people know, you know, look at the paper every day and see what's going on around you. You know, don't wait for something to happen before you make that change.
No.
You know, time is so important.
But see, the piece that you gave to this new person is you empowered her because you gave her the skill set. You showed her what to do, like Lisa showed Russell what to do, so that he could step up and do it. Unfortunately, some of us aren't sharing that information. But I think it gets back to the focus, taking the focus off yourself. It's not about me standing in front of the room. It's not about me being the only one in the group who can show the plan.
Right.
If that's the case, then that defeats the entire purpose of how we're supposed to help one another.
And we let her know she's a leader. We say, you know, hey, you're going to tear it up. You're the leader. You know, people in Richmond love her. You know, she just came out from the behind everything, and now she's like, you know, they down there working it hard.
No, I've always appreciated the flip chart. I mean, we always keep one in the trunk. I keep one in my briefcase because that's just a tool that you absolutely want to have available. Well, what's one of your favorite prospecting and recruiting tools, Patricia?
I like CDs. Dennis Frank has one on prospecting and recruiting.
Right.
And so I always buy the CDs and I listen to them myself so that I know how to use them and who I need to use them with, because they're good teaching tools. But I have to know what is on it first before I tell somebody else about it.
Wait a minute. Would you back up for 1 second there? I need to rewind here. I have to rewind. Patricia said she listens to the CDs first before she gives them to someone else. Now, why do I want to rewind? Because I'm aware that there are far too many people who are handing people literature, actually handing brochures that they have not read. So when the customer asks a question, potential customer asks a question, you can't give an answer that's in your own brochure, or giving someone the three-part DVD, or the wonderful Success from Home magazine, and not having gone through it, so that when a person asks a question, you can't even continue the conversation. What that does, that goes back to what Russell said about belittling the person. That goes back to what Selton and Patricia said about not respecting a person. But ultimately, it goes back to you in the mirror. Because if you don't learn your own materials, then you're not walking in integrity. And particularly in our community, if you don't walk the walk and talk the talk, and people know that you are not a person of integrity, you won't be able to recover from that. You know, it is far better that you just take a time out and not work on your business, because you're not really working on it anyway, until you're at that point in your life, and it may be some time for some of you, where you can own your own materials. You need to take the time to sit there and not just depend on the fact that someone else said, oh, this is a good CD, so you need to buy this. Well, yes, you need to buy it, and you need to listen to it. I don't think I ever leave this house without having some new CDs in the car to listen to. It just doesn't happen. I mean, I just got the CD with Dennis and Dr. Lieberman, the one of the Transitions call.
Oh, yes.
And it was like, okay, I'm not using Transitions products other than the shakes, which I absolutely love, but I need to know what's going on there. And I need to have those CDs so that I can converse with someone intelligently and say, listen to this, you'll really like this part, or this part is funny. How am I going to say that and establish the relationship connection if I've never even listened to it?
Exactly.
No, so no, I really don't mean to do a TiVo moment on you, Patricia, but that's a really good point. Read the material, listen to the material first. Russell, what's some of your favorite prospecting and recruiting tools?
Yeah, I try to customize it a little bit. I think if, you know, we have a meeting that's geared towards product overview and that type of thing, I'm going to go with a mall talk and a home shopping list. I mean, when people see their home shopping list, it shows them something about how this business can fall into place. You know, they're seeing products that they normally would buy at other various types of stores, and then you show them that back page and say, this is what Market America has, you know, that not just matches what you're buying, but supersedes that. And the mere checking of that list is, like, so simple, and it shows you how you're doing the business instantly. So whenever we're moving on a product mode, those are the two, you know, items I like to work with. If there's particular interest with health and nutrition, I throw in that Make Your Move CD. I think as an overall prospecting tool from the business standpoint, Success from Home is just brilliant. I just love that thing. It covers a lot of the bases for folks who like to read and look at pictures. It takes care of that. You know, for folks who want to throw that DVD in there, it takes care of that. And it's really interesting. I remember one time I was in the car. I was so excited. I was talking to a prospect about it. I took the DVD out and put it in the CD player and couldn't figure out why it didn't work.
I thought I'm the only person who ever did that.
Did you do that? I'm saying I must have a bad Success from Home. I'll get you another one, right? But I didn't understand why. But I love that tool. It's a great tool. You know, I know it can be maybe a little expensive. There's sales on that thing. I just loaded up on a few. But, you know, they're substantial enough so that you can ask the person to get that thing back to you, you know, and that's what you need to do, and turn them over, flip them over.
Well, that's funny because the failure to get them back, again, I think speaks to a lack of confidence and awareness of what you're really doing, because that's a critical part of your follow-up. And if you pass these tools out to an individual, you need to be comfortable enough with that person and in the relationship-building piece so that it's going to be almost a natural for you to say, You know, I appreciate the fact that you haven't had a chance to listen to that yet, but I really have some other people waiting for it, and I need to get that one back. Why don't you give me a call when you're going to have some more time? Because when you don't go and collect your material, you're telling people a couple of things. One, I'm not really serious about my own business. Two, it's not near as valuable as I said, and it really doesn't matter whether or not you listen to this. We're communicating all sorts of information when we don't even realize it. But the other piece that you said, Russell, about the customizing, that's what I think is leading to you all's success, is because you're really customizing what you do with people based on the fact that you listened to them in the first place. You know which people are visual. You know which people are auditory. How do you know? Because you ask people. Would you be more comfortable watching something, or do you prefer to listen to CDs? If you don't ask the person that, how do you know they have a CD player in their car? So you have to listen. It still gets back to, I'm wanting to share with you the prospecting and recruiting tools that are, I believe could be most effective for where you are, not for what I happen to have ordered and have on my shelf.
That's right.
That makes the biggest difference. But the follow-up piece and getting your material back, I know that's difficult for a lot of people, but I also know that if you're going to have any success, it's critical. And that's what I want you to talk about next is how do you, and Patricia, I'd like you to take this one first, how do you include follow-up in your daily schedule? I know you have organizations growing all over the place, but how do you make sure that you deal with your follow-up?
I have to have my day timer, and everything is there. I sit down like on Sunday, and what's in my day time is not just my Market America business, but personal things that I have to take care of also for my family, because I can't lose track of that either. I have to make sure that I'm taking care of those responsibilities that I have as a mother and as a wife. So I have to have everything planned out, but I can't exhaust myself. I can't overwhelm myself, and that's what I do. I look at my entire week, and I plan that follow-up, what I need to do, you know, each day, and not try to do too much. The other thing is that there's always a follow-up with a customer, with a distributor. You were speaking earlier about teaching them how to use the material. I always use that as a follow-up with new distributors because they can get overwhelmed with all the materials out there and not know what to use. And so it's up to us to suggest certain material for them to use, but then, like you were saying, teach them how to do it. So I actually use that as a follow-up.
And
it doesn't have to be very long. You don't have to sit down with them for 2 hours or whatever. It can be a half hour. It can be 45 minutes, but they get a lot out of it, and they're always excited when they leave here, and they're like, oh, thank you so much, you know, for sharing that time with me.
Well, I think you're very perceptive because people want to know what to do once they've agreed to do something. Mm-hmm. And it's really important not to overload. And sometimes people will share with me the information that they've given to one person, and it makes me tired.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
thinking about the fact that you gave them 3 different DVDs, 2 CDs, a career manual, a Getting Started Action Guide. Who in the world do you think is going to have time to read all that? We don't have time to read all that.
Yeah,
there's no way. And if you give people too much, that will cause them to back away.
Yeah.
So it still gets back to customizing it based on where you know that person is and customizing your follow-up time with people based on where you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You know, it all dovetails very nicely. And I really appreciate you saying that you have to have that master calendar. That is one thing that I think is so important. The master calendar has to include your life. Not just Market America, not just family. But too many people put just Market America on it and forget they need to take their child to the doctor that day.
Right.
And that is a perfect setup for missing your follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you don't have time.
Exactly.
But you had time, you just didn't schedule it appropriately. So the master calendar idea is absolutely critical, and you're correct, Patricia. We're always in some state of follow-up if we're building our business, because each person that goes on that calendar, if I gave them material on Monday, I'm following up with them on Wednesday, and that's already laid out. It's not happenstance that that's going to occur. And not overloading ourselves is, in some ways, almost more important than not overloading a new person, because we're actually working with several people at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're overloaded, we're going to be doing a disservice to multiple people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really going to be rather, I think it's going to be discouraging for them, and it can even be discouraging for us. So we want to avoid that at all costs. Russell, what do you do in particular in addition to a calendar, which I know you keep?
I tell you, to be honest, man, follow-up is my toughest area. It's the hardest thing for me with regards to building my business, you know, if you're talking about, you know, the basic five. But there are different types of follow-up. Yeah, I don't need to segue too much and not get too detailed. But, like, I do very good follow-up with individuals who are already in the business and looking to learn and grow and new distributors and that kind of thing. I have a challenge following up with prospects, I think, in the way that I should. And I've recently felt that I've gotten better. You know, and I think that's one of the things that propelled me to the next 10 level, you know, to be able to get that under control, because we always got to work on our weaknesses.
That's right.
Right? So you recognize that, and then when I started to harness that a little bit, you saw the growth, you know. So they are different, and you mentioned it before, Dan, it's different types of follow-up for different stages of your growth, your development, and of your people's growth. Right. And development. I think, you know, in addition to my calendar, my day planner, it's the phone calls. It's the phone call, and keeping in mind that this business is built from contact to contact. And to simplify things, my goal with folks is I'm moving them through the business, and even with new distributors, because they're only one step away from having been a prospect. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that to mean them, but they're in the process of learning. So it's really about the next event. It's the next event. It's the next event, and I never take my focus off of that.
Right.
And if I have one thing that I got to try and guide somebody through, it's no matter what I say, we got to get you to the next event. Mm-hmm. Because if I messed up and we go in to see Selma and Patricia, they're going to help me out with where I went wrong. And you're going to see from a different angle, a little different perspective, and that's what keeps folks moving through the business.
And I appreciate what you said there, Russell, because it's really about the next event, not the next leadership school or the next convention.
Okay.
Those are extremely important, but sometimes we need to just remember the next event is a second look, that's next Tuesday.
That's right.
The next event is a coring, that's next Monday.
Right.
The next event is the local seminar. We need to get new prospects in front of as many other people as possible, because we don't know who they're really going to click with. We don't know who's going to make that connection with them. They may be our person technically, but that doesn't necessarily mean that their core relationship is going to be with us.
Right.
But again, that's about taking the focus off us. It doesn't matter if they totally connect with me. It matters that I help them find someone with whom they do connect. That's a critical piece.
You know, what Russell said earlier about that, Successful Home Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
For example, it's a guy that lives in New York. He came here and he met people here at a church, a Chinese guy, and he took that Profile Success book there and met people in the church and was bringing them to the meeting. He don't build a big organization, and then what he do, he bring them there and introduce them to us.
Mm-hmm. He's a very smart man, isn't he?
build the business in this area with. And I mean, he don't build an awesome organization from Baltimore. I mean, these young guys he got in, they like awesome.
Mm-hmm. But he's using the tools,
yep.
He's using the relationships, mm-hmm. and he's using his knowledge of the next event.
That's
what we all need to really focus on, because none of us can build this business by ourselves.
No,
this is not a business that you can make significant money beyond retail by yourself. And even that, you're not really making the money by yourself, because you have customers
mm-hmm.
that you have to follow up with. I think what's really important, what you all have shared, is that this really is about connecting the dots.
Yeah.
The reason Robin and I were attracted to this business was because of the system, because you can see that if I connect all of these dots, that picture is going to come through. And that picture is going to be clear, and it's going to allow me to take care of my family and my community in ways that I've always wanted to be able to do that.
It's objective. It's objective. It's not a subjective approach, which means we can all do this.
There you go. If we decide,
that's right,
we're willing to do the work that it takes to have the level of success we decide we want. That's the piece. And that, this kind of ties into what you were saying, Russell. I want to address is when we're talking about different kinds of follow-up,
mm-hmm.
there's follow-up for your customers, there's follow-up on your prospects, but what's equally important is follow-up on yourself. And that follow-up is some of what you did, Russell, with identifying that your weakness was in following up with prospects.
Right.
It's some of what you shared, Patricia, when you look at your master calendar and know that you have responsibilities as a wife and a mom, that you keep your focus on helping other people, but you also follow up on your own goals.
Mm-hmm.
You have to continue to review and understand the importance of your own goals. Maybe some of those goals are no longer relevant.
Mm-hmm.
I often look at my list and say, well, this doesn't really matter to me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now this matters. Well, this matters a little, but not enough for me to do this kind of work for. So that follow-up piece, I think if we're going to keep the level of centeredness, I guess, that we need to build our business and help other people, we have to make sure we still have the right attitude when we're talking with people. If we're having a bad day, don't go out and talk to people.
Right.
There's some days where I don't go anywhere because I know I'm just not feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to be the one to set a bad example.
Right.
And you don't want to be the one to take away someone else's opportunity. So follow-up is not just an abstract. It really does apply to checking our own attitudes, checking our goals, checking our direction. Are we thinking more about ourselves than other people?
Mm-hmm.
If you ever find yourself doing that in life, you're probably bound for some sort of difficulty, I think.
Right. We periodically do that. We look at ourselves.
That's exactly right.
You know, you have to look at yourself. And that Russell mentioned that early. You know, it starts with us first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm different from Tricia. I plan my day as the day go. And when I wake up in the morning, I wake up a little earlier, and I make plans of what I'm going to do this day. I'm going to waste time this day. I'm going to make something out of the time. See, because you know you have a schedule during that day. So during your schedule, you know you can't do anything during your schedule time or work or whatever. But you say, when I get off, before I get home, I'm going to do this or that. You know, you have to plan your day, because a lot of people don't plan their day. You waste your day. And then you look up and say, well, you know, I could have did this today instead of doing what I did.
I tell you, Patricia, this is where Shelton and Robert, I'm not getting up early. I'm planning my week because I'm not getting up early. And there's some people on this call, they forget the time difference. And they call and leave me messages like at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I know they didn't think I was going to answer that phone. I'm not doing it. Okay? So I plan my days during the weekend. I lay out the whole week. And what you do, Selton, that works. But you're making a conscious decision that today I'm not going to engage.
Yeah.
And it is better to do that than set a to-do list and get to the end of the day and have done nothing and then feel bad about it.
Waste a lot of time.
Right.
You know, I like that.
The thing that I use at the end of each day, the result should either prod you or applaud you.
Absolutely.
I like that.
I like that because that is the reality. You can't fool anyone else about what was on your to-do list because it was your list.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you achieved it or not. I might be your technical accountability partner, but I only know what you tell me.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You know, so I think it's really important, and I think you three are clear examples of the importance of following the system, using appropriate tools, caring for the person that you're talking with, and beginning every interaction with other people in terms of how can what I have to offer help you have a better life and do more of the things that you want to do in terms of fulfilling your particular purpose. I think that is the critical piece that most of us struggle with on a daily basis. I had actually intended to ask you all to give me several training tips to share. You've pretty much done that. and I think the people on the call should really appreciate that. But in the few minutes that we have, if would you each just share one thing that you think the people on the call can begin to do tonight to help them be able to maximize international convention and moving their business forward in a positive direction? Russell, why don't you go first?
Yeah, maximize an international convention. I just quickly go to personal experience. It elevates you to such a level that you make yourself think about what you have to do. You make yourself think more deeply about what this company is about and what it can do for you. When you see 20,000 plus people, you know, walking around excited and finding success, you know, people finding success all around you. These are faces that you see in a variety of different settings, whether it's the success from a home, that last local seminar you went to, it just stimulates me, you know, to come out fired up. And I think that more than anything is what I come away from the conferences with, you know.
Okay.
I'm ready to go.
All right.
You know?
Appreciate that. Selton?
Well, my thing is, I'll tell all the people on the phone right now, if you have people that you work with right now who are not in the business, get them to the convention first. You know, let them use that money before they get in. They can go really see what this business is all about. Because my first convention going to Greensboro, I went there. I left here at 11 o'clock at night, drove there and got there for one day. And what I saw that one day, I couldn't believe. I mean, the thing is, folks, is getting there and seeing that. And, you know, it's not about, you know, getting excited and motivated and stuff like that, but see so many people going across the stage making that kind of money that you can make. And I just can't wait to get to Greensboro because all these people moved up in the pen level. You've seen the last Powerline magazine.
Oh, my, it's amazing.
You know, put our pictures in there. It's going to be six of us in there. Because the thing is, we got to visualize that and know that we can do that. And I'm going to say this before I get let Trisha to say anything. But Ben was here a couple weeks ago, did a second look here.
Okay.
Ben had bought a brand new Rolls Royce and a Maybach the same time.
Kitty.
And I mean, he gave me the opportunity that I don't have to buy that kind of stuff, but I can make that kind of money if I want to buy it. And he's no different from any of us on the phone. All we have to do is have a why. Your why got to be big enough, folks. Just have that why and go after it and say and just pray on it and it happens.
The reality is, we choose our definition of wealth building. For many of us, it has nothing to do with a big house, a fancy car. It's got to do with helping our community and helping our family and ensuring that our children have a future. You get to decide that, but only if you embrace the possibilities. Patricia?
Okay, what I would suggest, that you look at your team, your organization, get on the phone and call everybody and find out how many people are planning on going to convention. And if they're not, if you built that relationship with them, then they can share with you if they're having some and you can help them find a way to get there. That may be sharing room with someone, that may be carpooling with someone, but you need to go down that list and call each and every person and find out how many people are going. You can get the help if you have coordinators. You don't have to have executive coordinators, master coordinators, and above. You can all be coordinators. You can be just starting the business. But get on that phone and call. You never know what's going to happen. You can get a lot of people there that way and get them excited, get that battery, those batteries recharged again.
And if you have people in this area, just let us know because they have buses going there, vans going there. So people don't mind letting people ride with them. So.
Okay.
And it's always good to have a plan going into convention, but you can't think about it the day that you're leaving. You should start working on that right now. There's still a lot of time. Not just how many people are you going to get there, but what are you going to do when you return? You're going to go there, you're going to get a lot of information, and they can get overwhelmed with that information. But decide what's going to happen. Is there going to be a kickoff? Is there going to be a do? Are you going to do an overview? What's going to happen when you leave convention so that everybody has a plan and you can keep that momentum going?
Right. I really appreciate you all sharing this evening, and I can't wait until we can have the forum meeting. And everyone, these three will be sharing information with you at the forum meeting, so you will definitely learn all you need to learn to have success with your business. But I really appreciate you all taking the time this evening to
visit
with us.
Thank you very much.
I really do. I want to give you the Feed Your Mind quote for this week before we get cut off, and it matches so perfectly, you would think I planned it. If you have a purpose in which you can believe, there's no end to the amount of things you can accomplish. If you have a purpose in which you can believe, there's no end to the amount of things you can accomplish. And I think, you know, Selton, Patricia, and Russell, they shared with you. You have the purpose to take care of your family and share this opportunity with other people in the area of being of service to them and not looking at it in terms of what's in it for you. I think you can't but have success with this particular business vehicle. So thank you all again, and thank everyone for participating this evening.